Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 3, we were taught that God always provides a way for a Christian to resist the devil. Well, let's continue with that thought today. Foundation for the Bible stands. In Revelation 16, three unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who heads up the one world religion, the ecumenical religion, in the tribulation, who will deceive these nations into coming. And Satan leads men to that which will kill them. Now, be it drugs, promiscuity, and whatever other sin. Satan loves to kill men. You see, the devil paints a picture of fun. Hey, you've got liberty to the flesh. See, a lot of preachers, false prophets are out there today saying we have liberty, we're not under the law. Well, they're putting the liberty to the flesh instead of the spirit being freed from the power of the flesh. They think they're free to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, Satan has them deceived, and in turn, they're deceiving men with what they're teaching. Well, Satan's not man's friend. It is God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he might save man from sin's power and sin's penalty. Now God, he allows Satan to do certain things, but he's always made a way for saved people to bear it. And not only to bear it, but also to change others through the preaching of the gospel, that the name above every name, the name of our Lord, would be glorified. And when we trust and obey, we glorify the Lord when we trust and obey his word. You see, even in tribulation, God is in control. So you may be going through it just like Job went through it. You may not go to the extent of Job, but all the things that you'll hear. I think of Job talking, and then in chapter 8, verse 2 of Job, Bildad the Shuhite, and that's about the height, the shoe of his spiritual perception and understanding, you see, and he calls him a strong wind. Job's children, of course, they died, and that storm comes, said, yeah, your children are dead because they've sinned against God, you know, and you're doing these things, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's those kind of people that want to attack. Isn't it interesting that those three men that were supposed to be friends of Job, at the end, something happens with them that in chapter 42, God says, look, you three go to Job, and if he prays for you, I'll heal you. They had to go to the man that they were going to straighten out. And they found out, no, they were the ones that need to be straightened out. And that's the day in which we live today. People want a sermon on how to make my problems go away. As with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, who prayed three times for the messenger of Satan that buffeted him to be removed, and God's answer was no. God simply didn't grant Paul that request, although Paul's prayer for the healing of others went quite well. but for himself, it just didn't go because that wasn't God's will. Instead, God ministers grace to him. And now Paul glorifies in the strength, the joy, and the peace in the midst of his great trials, which he could not have had that joy or peace or strength had he not gone through them. And he learned of the manifest presence of God with him through the trials. Even in the trials, trust God. Remember, they'll pass. Eternal joy is eternal. There's old Micaiah. He tells them as it is to men as they are. And that's the way every preacher should preach. But Ahab wanted a sermon, as in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11, that said soft things and smooth things. They said, prophesy to us deceits. Don't tell us the truth. They wanted the sermon to say the opposite of God's decree. Well, an honest man of God won't do that. He may not get the people behind him, but he will get reward laid up in heaven. As a preacher, I don't need to get upset with people that attack my motives and attack me personally and say lies about. Look, I've had that going on. It's as strong now. I'm probably the strongest it ever has been in my lifetime. And yet, as that happens, God just keeps ministering to me through his word and other preachers that'll preach the word. He does that. Matter of fact, we can even rejoice because great is our reward in heaven. Now, the Lord says that he will plead with them there, here in verse 2 of our text. That word plead actually has the idea of judicial litigation, in which God is judge, and he makes the judicial decisions. The nations will be judged and purged before their entrance into the millennium. You see, God sets the ground rules for the millennium, as well as to be the judge. He will rule with the rod of iron, we're told in Psalms chapter 2 and verse 9, and again in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. But what a great day the millennium, that thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, will be. We're told that the lion and the lamb will lay down together. A child will not be hurt by the snake, the poisonous, venomous snake, and will be even able to lead a lion and a wolf around, a bear around. And they will not hurt nor destroy in all his holy mountain. Isaiah 11 teaches us all of that. And it literally will happen. Now, I heard a radio man years ago interview a preacher, and the preacher was going over Isaiah chapter 11 with him. When he got done and walked out, the radio announcer busted out laughing. How could anybody be so ignorant in this modern day to believe that all of a sudden a lion and a bear and a wolf won't do the things that they do, and a snake won't poison a child if he's playing with a snake, a little toddler? Oh, boy, he had a laugh. But isn't it interesting that Psalms 2 also says that God will laugh at them when he has them in derision, and it's too late for them? He who laughs last laughs best, does he not? And God laughs last. Men have mocked and laughed at God, but God has the final word. He is the judge of the universe, for he's the creator. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But notice that God pleads with them. This is judicial legislation. And he calls them here in verse 2, my people. This looks at a specific congregation, tribe, or nation. My heritage is a term that shows it is a personal, valued possession. Remember, Jesus came to this earth born of Jewish heritage, although he was formed of God the Father in the womb of Mary, who also called Jesus her Savior because she needed a Savior. She would also be a sinner cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why she offered a sin offering on the eighth day after the birth of Jesus for herself. Not for Jesus. Jesus became a sin offering for us, but he never had to offer a sin offering for himself, for he never sinned. Now, there are people today who speak in favor of replacement theology. They say the local church, the church today, and usually they mean and some invisible church, although I can't see how you can have a pastor of an invisible church. I wonder if the pastor and the deacons are invisible. Well, he says that they will have a replacement in the local church or in the church that they think of. And people that say that do not have an inkling of an idea of the enmity against God that they are practicing. And they're going to find out in no uncertain terms from God. They're going to find out from God that it is never his will for the church to replace Israel. Hey, look, ours is the New Jerusalem up in heaven. It hath 12 foundations. They are 12,000 furlongs deep, wide, and high. Think of that. That's about a distance from Denver, Colorado, to the Atlantic Ocean. There are 12 layers of foundation, each one a precious stone. It goes ahead and mentions the stone. Just think of that. Precious stone in one layer, then the next layer, a different precious stone that says wide and deep as the distance from Denver, Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean. And the city itself is that high. Its streets and its walls are of gold so pure that it's like transparent glass. Its gates are of pearl, and it's interesting if each gate was of one pearl. Now, we think of pearls, we think of a lady's necklace, but this gate, these gates are so huge. And they're made of just one pearl. Wow. When God does it, he does it big. He said that there are many mansions there. You know, it's interesting. The Lord had been telling the apostles in John chapter 14 through 16 of the trials and the troubles they'd have. But he says there in chapter 14, he starts it out by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me."
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible